Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. More than anything, most adults care about their jobs. If you're a small business owner, you care about your business. If you're working for someone else, you care about the quality of your job, the pay of your job, the benefits. And you want to know one thing, which is, how can libertarian ideas help employment? With me right now is Andy Bacher. He is running for the House of Virginia House of Delegates in the 46th District. Andy, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, Arvind. Thanks for having me on again. Excited to talk about jobs. It gives us a really good chance to highlight the benefits of libertarian policies.
Let me ask you this. Where do we begin? I mean, why should somebody who wants either a better job or an easier way to start a business or to run a business, why should that person support libertarian candidates?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I was thinking about recently. Went out, great friend and now a wonderful campaign consultant. We were out at the mall making sure that I'm going to look like a candidate. And one of the things that we did was get a haircut. Sitting down in the hairdresser's chair, look over to the right. It's got a government license to be a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And that just struck me as a little bit absurd, because when I go to get my haircut, my first priority is getting a good haircut, not whether or not this gentleman has jumped through the hoops he needs to get that license.
Mm-hmm.
And all that license is doing is keeping other people who can cut hair well from cutting hair and make it illegal. So the solution is getting the government out and allowing people to do the jobs that they want to do and do a good job at that.
Now, what about for the rest of us? I mean, many of us work in areas that maybe don't really require that much government licensing. Aside from government licensing, are there other benefits to libertarian policies?
Absolutely. You know, cutting spending, cutting taxes allows for more money in your pocket, in the bank accounts for your business, allowing people to hire more workers, create more jobs, and create more opportunities.
So what we're saying is that if everybody has more money to spend and you work for any kind of business at all, there's a chance that they might be spending some of that money at your business, which will then be reflected in either your profits if you own the business or your salary if you work there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the biggest areas that people talk about with libertarian policies today, there's two big areas that I hear again and again from the candidates on this show and candidates around the country, are education and war on drugs. Now, how do those two relate to employment?
Well, they relate very closely. Education, right now, our education system doesn't necessarily line up with what we need to train our workers to work in our economy. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. So allowing people to make the choices they need to make to get that training they need for the jobs that they want, rather than funneling money and money and money into a system that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We also talk about the war on drugs. First of all, the war on drugs is incredibly expensive, and it's draining tax dollars, just like we mentioned before, from individuals, from businesses, from the economy at large, and keeping more money out of your business.
Mm-hmm. And that's such an important idea. That's such an important idea, that money that is spent on some government insanity is by definition money that's not being spent wherever you work. unless you work directly for the government, you don't get those benefits. And let me tell you this, you know, as the son of two civil servants, you know, my dad works for the federal government, my mom worked for the state government. One of the main reasons that they were forced to do that is because the government had so deeply crowded out the private sector, that the government had gotten in the way and was doing what the private sector would have done well, but was instead doing it poorly. And I'll tell you this, since they left the public sector, their lives have been 1,000 times better, and they recognize that any money that goes out of the government benefits everybody, including those who work for the government and want to stop.
Absolutely. It's just a black hole of waste, and that's what happens to that money funneled into these government monopolies. One of the fights that we've had in Virginia recently was over Uber. And mm-hmm. You've taken Ubers, right, Arvin?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so instead of allowing people to use their car to make money, and these are usually disadvantaged folks, but mm-hmm. not always, we're maintaining a monopoly for the taxi companies.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling money for what is generally worse service
mm-hmm.
out of people's pockets who want to work.
Mm-hmm. And what's really incredible is this, is that when you're paying more for a taxi, the worst part of it is that taxi driver isn't necessarily making more money, nor is the taxi company, because they have to pay these huge fees for licenses and medallions to the state. So literally, you're funding all the hateful and destructive and negative things that the government does. War on drugs, Common Core, foreign wars, you know, using SWAT teams to abuse the populace, you know, all the other things that the government does that we hate. You're supporting whenever you take a taxi. But now you have something called Uber that lets you support just the driver, and of course the government hates that.
Yes, they do hate that. And the biggest thing is that this licensing it's theoretically designed to keep us safer when we're taking a hired ride somewhere. It doesn't work. Anybody who's been in a taxi knows that you're not necessarily going to get better service than in an Uber. And when I take my Uber, I can see a list of everyone else's reactions who's taken this cab.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pick and choose and find the best driver around.
And it's just
is it funding these wasteful programs, but it's funding it for no reason
mm-hmm.
or for no benefit.
And let's take it to the next level. Listen, I'm in a business.
Yeah.
My business is education, and many of my clients, because they're under the age of 16, don't have driver's licenses. So now the fact that those kids can take Ubers because those things are less expensive, that also benefits my business. That benefits any business that doesn't want all of the cost of their customers and clients to be going into transportation. And that means that now you can have better businesses that can more effectively serve people like younger kids, the elderly, people who don't have access to cars now have access to transportation. And that helps all jobs. It helps all businesses. No matter what kind of business you work for, you're being either directly or indirectly helped by lowering those regulations.
So it's more money for everyone to funnel back into the economy. That's the biggest point here.
You know, one of the things that attracts companies and businesses to a country, basically, there's two big considerations, you know, speaking to people all over the country that are part of big businesses, part of deciding where to locate the next factory, the next office. There's two things they look at. One is taxes, and the other is safety. Now, how do libertarian policies lower taxes and increase safety to attract more businesses?
Well, when we look at safety, I think the biggest thing to understand is that businesses already have a serious incentive for safety.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that Uber ride we've been going back to. If someone's driving recklessly, if they're driving all over the street, if they've hit someone, they're going to get a very bad rating, and the next person who needs a ride is not going to choose that gentleman. So It's not the government regulation that's causing them to drive safely. They're driving safely because they want another customer.
Exactly.
And that can be translated to the business world at large. Lowering taxes, again, more money to spend on a better product, on a better service. And that's what everybody really wants.
Whether you're somebody that wants to buy better products or whether you're part of a company that wants to make better products or better services, lower taxes are going to help you. And that's an absolute fact. And what we're saying here is that libertarian policies are really addressing both sides of the coin. One, they're lowering taxes to entice more businesses and to make people have more disposable income. But also, they're getting rid of the things that turn businesses away. They're getting rid of not just regulation, but just problematic climates. They're getting rid of the things that make people not want to do business in a given country. And the more libertarian policies we have, the more libertarian candidates we have, the better off we're going to be. Andy, let me ask you this. If somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, what's the best place for them to go?
Best place is going to be the website. That's andybacker.com, andybacker.com. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/andybacker VA. Andy Bacher on Twitter and Instagram. We're all over the place.
Excellent. And guys, you know, I've been keeping track of Andy's campaign over the last several weeks. And, you know, it's a great website. It's a great campaign, great events, great energy. Check him out, andybacher.com. Andy, thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Thank you, Arvin. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Now, folks like Andy are doing so much to downsize government so that we all have better jobs, that we can more easily grow or start businesses. But he's not going to do it by himself. If you want to help people like Andy get elected, you need to get to lp.org/states and see how to get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. You might decide to work on social media or go door to door, work at booths, staff events, get involved in these exciting campaigns. But that first step is going to lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety. Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788.
That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Now, realistically, many people in America who want there to be more jobs, better businesses, and better jobs end up getting tricked into voting for one of the other two parties. In fact, most of them get tricked into voting for the Republican Party that talks a big game about cutting taxes, but never does it. I mean, they didn't defund Obamacare. They never cut taxes. They weren't even able to defund NSA surveillance. So we have a lot of people who have come to the Libertarian Party from both the Democratic Party and from the Republican Party. My next guest, who's currently running for office, he's running in Virginia's 33rd District for House of Delegates. He's a former Republican who's recognized the advantages that the Libertarian Party has when it comes to actually increasing employment, having better businesses, and making it easier to start or grow a business. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Arvind. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Mark, you know, I'm at your website right now, AndersonForDelegate.com, and it's so exciting to see someone who's, you know, come from the Republican side and is now working, fighting the good fight, trying to reduce government, trying to improve opportunities. So let me ask you this. When you look at libertarian policies, what are the ones that you think most directly or most importantly help increase employment?
Well, overall, it's the idea of minimum government. You know as well as I do that whenever the government steps in and tries to be a part of the economy or what have you, that all they do is create restrictions and blockades for business. So what I really like about the Libertarian Party is the idea of just the government taking a back seat and just fulfilling its only true role of protecting the citizens and allowing business and consumers and people just to go along in harmony, you know, the supply and demand, and let people open a business, you know, remove the barriers to entry for entrepreneurs and let people conduct business in a way that's voluntary and efficient.
And, you know, as a small business owner myself, you know, your words resonate so strongly with my own experience. What a lot of people don't understand is that if you're a business owner and you need to spend $100,000 dealing with unnecessary regulation, that's $100,000 that you can't pay your employees because you don't have it anymore. That's $100,000 that you can't use to hire consultants and contractors. That's $100,000 that you cannot use to increase employment. And before, you know, people are like, well, no, you just pocket the difference. You might pocket some of the difference, but we're in a competitive market. And if you just underpay your workers, you're not going to have any workers. So I think it's, you know, it's so true that those costs are just passed on directly to salary. That's a fact. Regulatory costs lower your salary. That's all they ever do. So what are some of the libertarian solutions to some of these problems? You know, what do libertarians say? How do we, what do we do? What are some of the steps we take?
Well, you know, we've talked before about the EPA, and that's mm-hmm. more of a federal group, but, you know, that's a group that's appointed and creates regulations and restrictions that, like you said, are passed, the cost, the burdens of those costs are passed on to the business owner. Mm-hmm. There's zoning fees, and there's licensing fees, and there's all sorts of fees and taxes the businesses have to pay to, you know, that they have to shoulder the burden for that. You know, Virginia was one of only three states in the entire nation that whose GDP did not grow last year in 2014. And that's with Republicans and Democrats filling, you know, the House seats. And, of course, the upper level of our government has went Democratic. But this is a trend. You know, Virginia is – our economy is starting to stagnate. and that's why we need the government and, you know, of course, a large portion of our the economy is agricultural, and that's, you know, the EPA and the environmentalists, they really hone in on the agricultural business. So that this is where, you know, the smaller government, the less restrictions, the more just common sense oversight would be a lot bigger help for Virginia's economy in particular.
You know, when people are comparison shopping for candidates, they're not just looking for the candidates that have some vague sense that, like, maybe I'll do something. So I want to help people right now understand why they should vote for you. So let me ask you this question. If you're elected, are there ways, and if you have opportunities to do so, will you work to sponsor legislation or co-sponsor legislation or just vote for legislation that's going to reduce some of these unnecessary regulations?
Yes, if there's a way I can reduce the size of the government, cut spending, reduce taxes, any of the typical smaller government ideals, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out of my way to do that and support that.
And see, right there, that's the difference. See, anyone can talk about big government, but you'll notice, I mean, about shrinking government, but you'll notice that the people who talk about shrinking government emptily, they don't actually ever make a promise. They never say, I'm going to actually do anything. They just vaguely say, hey, wouldn't it be nice if... But right now, you have Mark Anderson right here on the radio and later on the podcast. That's right there. And if Mark Anderson, if you're elected and you get the opportunity to shrink government and you don't, then I will encourage every single person listening to this podcast to play it again and again. And I know you'll agree with me that you want the voters there holding you to that standard that you're setting for yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what everybody, when they talk to me about, why will libertarians be different? Like, well, when a libertarian is elected, he's going to have the entire Libertarian Party and all of its backers watching to make mm-hmm. sure to hold us to that standard that we promised to uphold.
I want to talk a little bit about safety. I want to talk about safety and security. And specifically, you know, one of the areas that people often don't realize how much it affects business growth is personal safety. And I want to talk specifically about the Second Amendment, the natural right to defend yourself. Now, first, let me just ask your stand on the Second Amendment. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
I fully support gun rights. I think the Second Amendment protects our right to keep and bear arms. I mean, I'm a huge gun. People would call me a gun nut, I suppose.
And now here's why that's important. When you are in a country in which there's just unpredictable violence everywhere, if that type of country doesn't attract businesses. You know, companies don't set up factories in unpredictably violent countries. Companies don't set up offices in unpredictably violent countries. And we know the following fact. We know that the more people have guns, the less of an advantage one person can get by having a gun. And that means if you're in a place where everybody's armed, you're probably not going to turn to violence. Do you agree with that idea that, you know, an armed society is a more civil and polite society?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's you can look at that in America. I mean, where are there no guns and what are their crime rates like? And where are there a lot of abundance of guns and what are their crime rates like?
Mm-hmm. And we can look around, you know, places like Washington, D.C., the center of power of the federal government, where you can't have guns, you can't have knives. What do you have a lot of? A ton of crime. And,
yeah.
You know, aside from government contractors that want to be near Congress so they can lobby them, there's not really a lot of incentive to have a business in physical D.C. I mean, that's insane. Similarly, you have places like Texas that have relatively good gun laws, and what do we see? They're growing by leaps and bounds. Now, if you're elected, will you do whatever you can to support and promote gun rights?
Oh, 100%. Yes, absolutely.
And would you even work to get rid of some of the restrictions we have right now on guns? For example, would you work to abolish the gun-free school zone laws that have led to so many tragic school shootings?
I would, you know, and as a student myself, a community college student, you know, that's one of the things that's important to me. I'm not allowed to carry. I have a concealed carry permit. I'm not allowed to take it in my school and protect myself if a madman were to enter the school with a weapon. So I'm relying on, we have two security officers that sit at the front desk at the front door, and that's my entire protection if somebody comes in. That is a very important one. Get rid of the gun-free zones. Let people carry their weapons where they're going to be. And that, you know, that's how the Second Amendment works.
Now, let me ask you this. What other areas, you know, just before we end the segment, are there any other areas that you think are really important for how libertarian policies lead to more jobs, lead to better jobs, and lead to make it easier to start and run a business?
Well, you know, pardon me. Businesses open stores, factories, whatever, where there's a good chance of hiring competent employees.
Sure.
And that's what I think Virginia has, an abundance of competent employees. But what we need to fix is our educational system. You know, the public education is a mess. We've talked about it before, the 40% comprehension in fourth graders and reading and math. And then, you know, we need to offer school choice. Let people educate their children, choose their education of their children, where to send their children to school. This is going to create a workforce that is intelligent and competent and not, you know, continuing to send out, well, not that we're sending out bad employees, I'm sorry, but to send out just better employees.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely true. And we look around the world and we look at the countries that have surprisingly high growth and high standards of living. What do you see? Better education. We look at the countries that have tons of natural resources and are living in a much lower standard of living. Worse education. And so there's no question in my mind that for Virginia, for America as a whole, to become more competitive, we need to get the government out of schools. This is a job that's beyond them. They can't do this, right? The private sector is the only hope for education, and the more we can get rid of those regulations in education, the better off we're going to be. Now, Mark, let me ask you this. What is the best place, if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, where should they go?
All of them go to andersonfordelegate.com, or they can go to facebook.com, /AndersonForDelegate. You know, they can email me directly at andersonfordelegate@gmail.com.
And all that information, I can see it right here on your website. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Arvin. As usual, it was a pleasure.
Guys, folks like Mark Anderson are doing so much good work. And if you want to get involved in campaigns like Mark's campaign, or if you want to learn more about what it takes to run for office yourself, and just to let you know, you don't need to be a lawyer to run for office. I've run for office 3 times. I'm not a lawyer. If you're willing to learn about that, go to lp.org/states and see how you can make the biggest possible contribution you can to the cause of liberty. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788.
You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Now, one of the great things about supporting the Libertarian Party and Libertarian candidates is that you don't just have one person. You have a whole team of people that are working together, supporting each other's campaigns, and when we get some of these guys elected, are going to be able to sponsor, co-sponsor, and support each other's bills. My next guest is also running for the Virginia House of Delegates, this time in District 87. Brian Sujanin, he grew up in New England, settled in Virginia, and he's worked for 13 years in education technology. So he knows a lot about both education and about employment. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Arvind. Thanks for having me back.
Now, Brian, what libertarian policies do you support that will grow jobs, that'll increase jobs, that'll improve employment, make it easier to start a business?
Well, you know, overall, at 40,000 feet, I think, you know, the key is to reduce the overall footprint of government and its role in business. And then also we need to be looking at reducing and simplifying taxes. And so some specific areas that probably some of the themes with your show today, you know, regulation and licensing, for example, you know, income tax, even for, you know, corporation income tax for corporations. And then looking at, you know, letting the free market determine wages. So those are some three, you know, specific areas that I'm going to be paying attention to throughout my campaign, talking to my constituents about.
You know, when people talk about allowing the free market to determine wages, most people think that only means that people are going to be able to pay lower wages. But actually, in education especially, sometimes it means people are allowed to pay higher wages. You know, right now, the teachers' unions all over the country, especially here in Maryland, are fighting against, and if you have any questions about what teachers' unions, this will tell you, fighting against being allowed to pay teachers more.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and coincidentally, I met with the Virginia Education Association just yesterday. I had my interview with them, and I talked to them quite extensively about how the free market can offer up, improved compensation, wage growth for educators, in that, you know, the fact is that, you know, our state government is designed to move slowly and change slowly. And we need to see some radical changes in how education is delivered, not just K-12, but, you know, also higher education as well. But, you know, the state right now tends to have a bit of a monopoly on K-12 education, and what we need to do is start to move K-12 education into the private space. And we'll see opportunity increase for educators, and their wages will come up as a result of that.
Now, when you look at improving education, how does better education lead to better jobs for people in Virginia?
Well, you know, this is education is actually important because what we've been seeing for a couple decades now is, you know, technology in some industries has replaced, you know, low-skilled human labor, right? So we're not going to be able to reverse this trend. In fact, you know, we should, you know, expect for it to continue. And so this is where skills development and education plays a critical role in developing, you know, contemporary skills that are needed in the marketplace today and tomorrow. We need to be thinking ahead here.
And, you know, what's really nice about this is, let's say you're saying, well, listen, I've already done my education. I don't have any kids. Why do I care what happens with future generations? Well, actually, an area that has a highly educated workforce is going to attract more businesses. And those businesses are going to have jobs at every level. That's more jobs for everyone in that area or everyone in that country.
Right.
So it's one of those things that helps everyone.
Great. Well, when people have work, when they can earn a living, there's less despair, which is an important factor in society, right? We don't want to see desperate people in our communities, and that can also lead to crime. So, you know, it all plays an important role.
That's absolutely true. And again, lowering crime, higher safety, one of the many things that attracts businesses. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about some of the taxation regulation and how we can reduce some of those things to improve employment and to allow businesses to grow more easily.
Yeah, well, you know, with regulations, they tend to be written after a market has been changed or created, and the rules are almost always in favor of the established, you know, the establishment in that market, right? And in fact, you know, the rules are often written by them. And what this does is it raises the barrier to entry for any challengers in that market space, right? And so, you know, and licensing also plays a role in that as well. But, you know, if you're a small startup with, you think you have enough capital to get going, but then you realize, like, well, you know, there's astronomical licensing fees involved and just getting, you know, permission to start this business. And dealing with regulations, you know, which sometimes requires seeking, you know, legal help. I mean, those are costs that are sometimes, detrimental to a startup.
And that's really important, not just for, you know, owners of small businesses or owners of startups. It's also extremely important for anybody who works there.
Yeah.
You know, as I said in the earlier segment, all regulatory costs get taken out of salary. That's where they come from.
Yep.
And if there's $100,000 in regulatory costs and there are, say, five employees, then each one of those employees is probably going to take between a $10,000, $20,000 pay cut because of those costs.
Exactly. You know, and this is true for corporate tax rate as well. You know, I happened to be talking with my CPA the other day about taxes. You know, he said something out loud that I kind of knew and I'd never heard out loud before, but he said this to me. He was like, corporations don't actually pay taxes. He said, well, they do, but they really don't. And what happens is, you know, the tax burden for that corporation will get passed on to consumers, and it's embedded in the cost of the product. And so, you know, this is where when we want to talk about, you know, creating jobs, what we need to do is actually be looking at lowering taxes across the board for, you know, obviously for individuals, but, you know, specifically for corporations, because as we lower those taxes, the products get more competitive in the global market, and there'll be a higher demand for the, you know, for an American product, which means that, hey, you know, if we have to make more of our widgets, we need to hire more people to help out with that, right? And so that's how this also plays in.
And see that right there, that's what this is about. It's understanding that the government may suck money out of some company's pocket, but it's indirectly going to come out of your pocket one way or the other. No matter where the government, where that mosquito starts sucking the blood, that blood comes from the entire body. And wherever the government starts sucking out the money, that money is coming from the entire economy. And then essentially either being destroyed, if we're lucky, it's destroyed. Usually it's actually used for some directly counterproductive, harmful purpose that would be worse than setting the money on fire.
It's almost like we're taxing ourselves twice. I mean, we, you know, as individuals, we pay individual income tax, and then we, you know, if we turn around and demand that, you know, we raise income tax on, you know, for corporations, that just goes into the cost of the product, which means the product's going to be more expensive, and we're paying for that tax, you know. And then to think about, you know, then there's the sales tax potentially on top of that. So, you know, there's a snowball effect.
And all of that's being used, like, you know, all the immoral things that the government does, whether it's, you know, destroying families by locking up either, you know, fathers or mothers through the war on drugs, whether it's destroying families abroad by just literally blowing them up, whether it's just destroying our currency, no matter what damage they're doing, that damage is being funded by those taxes. Yeah. And if we get rid of those, I mean, that's not just helping our economy directly, it's helping it at this much more fundamental level, this deep, long-term kind of growth of the economy. Before we run out of time for this segment, what are some of the other, if you were to say there's another key area, are there any other key areas that people should really understand when they ask about how libertarian policies increase jobs?
Well, you know, we touched on, for me, there are three, you know, letting the free market determine wages, reducing taxes for individuals and corporations, and fighting regulation, and trying to strip away licensing. I was talking to a local food truck operator who tries to, mm-hmm. Run a business in a couple of different counties, and each county he goes to, there's different licensing fees involved, different inspections are required, different requirements for the food truck. These are the sorts of things that are frustrating for a small business owner. I could sense the frustration in his voice to the point where he's like, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And it really saddened me because his food is excellent. It's excellent barbecue. And, I just couldn't imagine, somebody who's able to make produce a fantastic product that people love not being able to continue because of the peripheral burdens, imposed on him by either the local or state government. And so, those are the key areas that, I'll be focusing on throughout my campaign and talking to folks in my community about.
Absolutely. And it's so important to remember this fact that any time a state is using tax money to, for example, entice some well lobbyist connected organization like Walmart or funnel money through some other kind of crony capitalism, they're just making it harder for the actual startups, for those who actually want to make quality goods, not just get some unfair government benefits to do what they're doing. And so I'm just so happy that we have folks like you, Mark, Andy, running out there and making sure that somebody's there fighting for the small business owners, for the individual, for people who want to do good work and not just steal money through the government.
Right.
Brian, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, is the best place, brianfordistrict87.com?
That's correct. And from there, they can launch off to Facebook or Twitter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And guys, if you want to learn where Brian, right over here, you can look at his issues page. He's going to tell you exactly where he stands, and he's going to tell you exactly what he's going to do to make your life better in Virginia. Now, here's the thing. You have folks like Brian that are working so hard to downsize government so that you and I have better jobs, so that it's easier for us to run businesses, so that we can pay lower prices for the same good. But he's not going to be able to do that all by himself. He needs your help. And for that to happen, you got to get to lp.org/states and get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. You might get involved in an existing campaign, maybe on social media or traditional outreach, working at campaign events or campaign booths. In fact, you might even decide to run for office. But the first step there is going to lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on Earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, We have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from The Mickey Ellison Show, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson, in The Sea Around Us, said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. Now, candidates are probably the hardest working people in the entire party. But there might be one group that works even harder to advance the cause of liberty, to reduce government, and to make sure that your life and my life is better. And I'm talking about the state chairs. With me right now is Marty Swinney. He is the state chair of the Libertarian Party of New Mexico. Marty, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Arvin. I had to look over to my shoulder to make sure you were talking about me.
Yeah. You know, when we see the amazing work that you guys do, you know, all over the country, it's just inspiring. And it's just so exciting to have, you know, folks like you and some of the other state chairs that have been on this show to share with us really their insights, you know, their policy insights, their political insights. So let me ask you this. When it comes to libertarian policies, what libertarian policies help employment, help jobs, help businesses?
Well, if you mean libertarian principles, sure. I would put my money on the fact that we believe people should keep the fruits of their own labor.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean taxes should be reduced to non-existence where possible, because the money that's kept in the hands of who rightfully and morally own it are the only thing that drives the economy. They're the ones who make the purchases. The more purchases they make, the more people get put to work, the more your dollar gets. So that would be my feelings on the matter.
And what's really important about that is this. No matter what kind of a company you work for, no matter what kind of a business you run, if people have more of their money, then they have more money to spend on your products and services. And so that means if you run it, So when you have folks that say, well, listen, you know, doesn't government create jobs, what do you say to them?
Well, I tell them that, you know, other than maybe, let's say, the government hiring 10 people to dig a hole and hiring another 10 people to fill it in and maybe, you know, maybe getting 20 inspectors to supervise it, that's all that the government can actually add to an economy. They have no product other than force. They don't sell automobiles. They don't manufacture dining room tables. And so the money is literally wasted. You may as well just be pouring the money into the hole and then covering it.
And what's really important about that is when products are produced, some of those lead to just direct use of those products, but many of those products are used for businesses to create more jobs, for businesses to create more products. You know, whether
Absolutely.
We're talking about
I've heard it said
or,
that products, profits rather, are the stuff that future products are made out of. And, mm-hmm. You know, a business is in business to make money, to create money, to create wealth, actually. Mm-hmm. And to do anything other than that would be to send people home without a paycheck. You can't meet a payroll if you're not making a profit.
And that's exactly the key of it. With those
it
profits,
is. Even that,
is where your salary
guy,
comes from.
Eugene V. Debs, I'm going to paraphrase him, the father mm-hmm. of American Unionism, he said that the real crime that a company can commit against its employees is to fail to make a profit.
And
now,
that'd
probably give him some concrete boots today if he was alive for saying something like that. By that, I mean the unions, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that really just shows, you know, how much the some of the political ideologies in America have gotten derailed. But fortunately, the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian movement are bringing those back. You know, when you talk to some of the candidates or, you know, in New Mexico from the past or people are considering being candidates, what are some of the areas of government that they say that they want to cut to help grow the economy and help improve jobs?
Well, places are few and far between here in New Mexico, and mostly people are upset about the federal government's BLM coming in and doing things that had better be left alone. We pride ourselves on the Second Amendment out here. And mm-hmm. I know when I bought my house out here, the real estate agent that came to me, the first thing he said was, you know, this is cutting into my hunting time. And, you know, it's we're pretty self-sufficient, you know, other than folks up in Santa Fe, maybe. You know, but that's what you get. A lot of folks are concerned here about the Operation Jade Helm 15.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of issues that we'd rather the federal government not engage itself in out here.
You know, one of the things that we see is when the government tries to subsidize something, it ends up making the cost even higher. Do you see from candidates, at least in New Mexico, that they're willing to take steps like defunding Obamacare or voting against any kind of either growth or voting in favor of a complete abolishment of Obamacare?
Well, you know, if you're talking about libertarian candidates, I'd have to say yes to all that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we know we're not all talking about libertarian candidates out here. And frankly, I don't really see the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans in terms of their actual activities once they get into office.
And right over there, though, I think that tells us why we should be supporting libertarian candidates. I mean, it's the libertarian candidates that are actually going to do the things that will reduce government, whether it's defunding Obamacare, or getting rid of things like the Patriot Act or these other hateful cyber legislations. That's only going to come from the Libertarian Party. No one else
is
going to do it. Now,
yes,
Marty, let me ask you this. If somebody wants to learn more about the Libertarian Party of New Mexico, what is the best place for them to go?
Well, as chair, I try to contact within about 3 days any inquiries that comes from the LNC. Personally, if there's a telephone number available, and on a closer note, we have a couple of websites or Facebook pages, I guess, get the nomenclature correct here, that people can visit and participate in our discussions there.
And we have I'm over here able the main to, website, which I believe is lpmn.org. Is that the right website?
Yes, that'll get you to us.
And see, that right there, all you need to do is just get to lpmn.org and just call the number there, and you'll get in touch, and you're going to be able to get involved right away in helping people downsize government. Marty, thank you so much for taking...
Well, I got to earn my salary, right?
Exactly.
So, Marty, my job is to grow this party, I see.
All right, well, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Arvin, and may you have a pleasant rest of the week.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.